It's my privilege today to introduce to you our chapel speaker. Many of you are getting to know him better than the rest right now because you're taking classes from Dr. McDill. Dr. McDill previously served as our on our trustee board. We've been friends for a long time, for many years, going over to Mid-America. I learned to appreciate him very much. We both attended Southeastern Seminary, but at different times and in different programs during that time. I knew his dad prior to that, though, when I first moved there, and that was really great. But let me just tell you a little bit. He's got his bachelor's and his master's and his doctorate, but Michael really loves the Word of God. And Dr. McDill will teach you, if you will listen to him, whether you're in church history class or whether you're in a theology class or you're in hermeneutics or you're in homiletics with him, wherever you're at, if you will listen to what he teaches you, he will teach you that one of the distinctives of being a Baptist is this, that we believe the Bible is the infallible, inerrant Word of God, 100%, and that is our only, and or that is our number one guide, that is our primary source of authority, and any of our thoughts, any of our traditions, anything else has to bow before the Word of God. That is what determines, should determine, what we believe. And so I'm really excited to have him come and share with us today. Those of you that get him in class, I envy you for that opportunity. But all of us get to hear him today as he brings God's Word to us right after Jonathan brings our special music.
Christ is my reward and all of my devotion. Now there's nothing in this world that could ever satisfy. Through every storm, my soul will sing, no turning back. Been set free. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. Christ, my all in all, my joy and my salvation. And this hope will never fail. Heaven is my home. Through every storm, my soul will sing, Jesus is here. To God be the glory. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. And Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. Turning back, I have decided turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. Turning back, and Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need, I have decided. Follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back.
Thank you.
That is an awesome song. Part of what I want to talk about today, Christ is enough for me. What a great... Is that better? All right, what we're going to talk about today is in Jeremiah chapter 29. This may be a familiar verse, a passage of scripture to you, chapter 29 of Jeremiah, starting with verse 11. Our family, sometimes when we go out to eat, we have a special way of picking out a restaurant. And this is what we do. We say, "Where do you want to go?" "I don't know." "Where do you want to go?" "I don't know." And that's how it goes. And then we say, "Well, maybe Rachel knows where she wants to go." "I don't know." So eventually we go somewhere. I don't know how it happens. But, all right.
My family has a safe strategy.
Yeah. I don't know if I recommend it, but it's pretty special, I think. Now, the problem there is there's no plan. Nobody thought about it beforehand. And I don't know about you, but sometimes my life has seemed like that. What's the plan? Like this microphone thing. It's not working out. And I'm being pummeled by life. I don't know what's happening. My notes are falling. And that's tough. It's the old, "I can't see the forest for the trees. I can't win for losing," that kind of thing. And those are the times when I say, "Lord, was this what you had in mind? Really? This hurts." So what I need at that point is a reminder, and that's what we have in this passage. There is a plan. And it's God's plan, and it's a good plan. And that's what Jeremiah 29:11 says. So let's look at that today for a few moments. God has a plan for us. That's the point. Jeremiah, this is the letter to the exiles in Babylon, And God is speaking. He says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And verse 14 says, "I will be found by you, declares the Lord." So, God has a plan for us. We know that. We've been told that. This whole, as we become Christians and try to grow in Christ, we look into this Bible, which is basically God's plan for us, each of us individually, for us as believers, as a church, as the church. We understand it. But I don't know about you, but amazingly, I forget. And I base my perspective comes then from what's happening right now. Where am I on the path? Which way do I go? I'm lost. I don't have a path. All kinds of different ways that we could use that metaphor, but we know how that feels. It's tough sometimes. So, I need to be reminded of God's plan. And I want to mention three things here. This actually tells us God has a plan, but it also gives us some truth and some insight into what that plan's going to look like. What is it that God has in mind for you and for me? First of all, God's plan for us is good. It's for our future well-being. That's what he says right here. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." So that's the big picture. It's good. That's what God said. That's what he's done over and over and over. That's what he proved in his son on the cross and the great victory 3 days later. All of that was for me. All of that is the foundation of my life, step by step, moment by moment, breath after breath of my life right now. So I need to be reminded of that. It's good. God is good. Every perfect gift, every good thing comes from the Father of lights, James says. Everything that you have in your life that's good has the stamp, "This is from your Father in heaven." That gives it, infuses it with a great meaning. Everything that's good is from God. So, sometimes when we wonder what the plan is because, and I know this for me, I forget. I forget what he's already told me. It's interesting here. The context here is that they're in Babylonian exile, the people of Israel, God's people, his chosen people. And he's telling them once again, here's what's going to happen. Go ahead. Plant gardens. Build your families up. Make your home there. It's going to be 70 years, and then I'm going to restore you. He already told them very similar things in chapter 24. And this is really similar to what we just read. Chapter 24, verse 4, "Then the word of the Lord came to me," that is Jeremiah, "saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, like these good figs, so I will reward as good the captives of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans. For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them up and not overthrow them, and I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I'll give them a heart to know me. For I am the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with their whole heart. Very similar to what we just read in Jeremiah 29. So it's not as if God doesn't tell us over and over and over. Have you noticed how the Bible is repetitive? How many times in the Gospel of John does Jesus say, love one another? A lot. Why? Because we have to be reminded of it. So we also have to be reminded that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's God's plan. And I'm a part of it. I'm the whosoever. I believe it. So my sins are taken away. I have eternal life. Everything else is gravy, isn't it? Those are great, precious, overwhelming gifts. That's the plan. And so I want to be God's ambassador to share that plan. But I need to be reminded. Sometimes my default perspective, like the default setting on the computer or whatever device you have, is interpret everything according to me, my ego. Are things going nice for me? Is my nest nice and feathered? Do people like me? Does everybody think I'm awesome, etc.? And that doesn't always happen like that. And there's a sense of freedom, actually, in saying, you know what? It's not my plan that needs to happen anyway. It's God's plan. So I can relax and know God's plan is in the works. It's in process. And I get to be a part of that. And the plan is ultimately good for welfare, not for calamity. Now, I like the sports teams, Dallas Cowboys, Texas Rangers, because I grew up in Texas. Can I get a witness, Dr. Wright? Yeah. Dr. Wright and I are both Rangers fans, so. And then we have Cowboys fans. But what I do is I like to, if my teams are playing on TV, I like to record it if they win and then watch it. And that sounds kind of strange because a lot of people, they don't want to know what's happened until the moment that they're watching it. But I already know, hey, they won. So I want to see how it happens. See, that's the story that we're in. We already won. We just get the excitement to see how it happens. Now, when my team gets down, say the Cowboys, I know they're going to win. They're down by 13 points in the second quarter. I'm like, the only question is, how are they going to do this? How are they going to come back and win? That's the situation that we're in. The victory is won. It will be won. God's already told us the plan. And the plan is, God says, I win. And you're with me. So you can trust that. So it's for welfare, not for calamity. Our perception, though, sometimes gets off based on trying to interpret things, looking at my situation, interpreting it through my own egotistical kind of lens. And so it's easy to forget. Sort of like a person who their birthday's coming up. And you can imagine everybody that loves that person is planning a surprise party. And so they don't want to talk about it. They don't mention the birthday at all. So this person, say it's me, because this kind of happened to me one time, thinks nobody's saying anything. Hey, your birthday's coming up. Nothing. And I think, because of the way I see things, I'm thinking nobody's even caring. Nobody knows. Until that day, and I walk in the house, surprise, everybody. See, it's so easy for me, I've found, to misinterpret my life, looking at what I think I see, instead of remembering this is God's plan to give me a future and a hope. And I have that. I can trust that. I can walk, have that foundation as I go forward. So God has plans, and it's all good. All things work together for good. That's what the Bible says. Period. We know that. Notice how God says, it's interesting here, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." There's sort of this idea of a hint there that I know that you forget. You don't know, but I know. Let me declare it one more time. This is the word of the Lord that you can trust. Notice how many times, like in chapter 24, this is said over and over. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter has to say something. Hey, let's build some tents, some little places where Elijah can stay. And what did God say? God comes, the great voice of God, and says, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Be still," almost like saying shut up, but be quiet. Be still and just know that I'm God. I've got the plan. We can trust that. So God's plan is for my good. I know that. Also, God plans for me to confide in him. God's plan for me is to walk with him, to go to him when I need to, to converse with him, to relate to him all along the way. So he says, "I've got good plans for you, a future and a hope," verse 12. "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." That's what God wants. Notice what you'll call upon me. Again, this is repetitive. You'll come, you'll pray to me, and I'll listen to you. Isn't that amazing? It's so simple. That's what God wants. He wants to be in relation to us. He wants us to come to him. Even in the hard times, even when we get confused, even when we can't see the forest for the trees, even when we're hurting and we can't really explain it to anybody, God knows. He's listening. He wants to listen. Any of you who are parents, you understand God the Father's heart, because if your little child that you love so much that you would give your life for, if they're in trouble, if they have a need, say they messed up like we do, and they know, that little child knows that you're not going to be too happy with that. The great desire of your heart is for them to come to you, right? Now, can you imagine you're in your house and you look out in the backyard and, oh, there's a kind of a structure back there. Somebody's built out of sticks and leaves. It looks like somebody's staying back there. You go back there in the back of the yard and there's your kid. What are you doing out here? And they say, "I didn't want to stay in the house and be around you because I've done wrong. So I thought I would just come live out here because I did something bad." Is that what you want? All the way through the Bible, what is God saying? Come back to me. Talk to me. Come, let us reason together, though your sins be as scarlet. I'm the only one that can make them as white as snow. Then you will come, you'll call upon me, you'll pray to me. That's what God wants. That's his plan. It's a big part of the plan. It's for us to go to him, call upon him. My grandmother, when my brother and I, my brother's name is Mark, he's real close in age to me, but younger. When we were growing up, he was frowning all the time. Later on, he was a real outgoing kind of guy. But when he was 2, 3, in that 4, he was always frowning. Every picture we have, we look at, there's Mark, he's frowning. But my grandma was a wonderful grandma, and she would, Mark, and try to engage him, and he wasn't interested for whatever reason. I don't know what happened to him back in those days. But one time, my grandma was visiting us. She was in the kitchen cleaning up, and Mark, she turns around, there's Mark, little bitty guy, standing in the middle of the kitchen, and she's looking at him. He says, "Can I have a drink?" He's frowning while he's doing that, but he says, "Can I have a drink?" And she's delighted. Why? Because he's coming to her to meet one of his needs. And that's what she wanted. She wanted to help him. She wanted to do whatever she could to do what was best for little Mark if he would just come to her. And that's God's heart to us. It's pretty obvious here, isn't it? Then you'll call upon me. You'll come. You'll pray to me. I'll listen. That's God's plan for you, to confide in him. Even though the great victory is yet to come, we still have that privilege right now, don't we, to go to God. How many times have I done this, could have had a V8 kind of thing, when I realized I've been worrying about something for 30 minutes nonstop, didn't think to go to God. It's amazing. So this is a good reminder. Call upon him. Trust him. One of the acts, the greatest practical things you can do to live out that trust in God is just this. Call upon me. Pray to me. Let me listen. So, God's plan is good. It's for us to confide in him. And also, God has plans. His plan is for us to really know him, to fully know him. And he says here, verse 13, "And you will seek me." Not just stuff that I can do for you, not just call upon me to help you, but you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found by you. Notice how many times you'll seek me, find me, search for me with all your heart, and I will be found by you. So the big, big plan in the end is for us to be with God and to know him. Like the song that Jonathan sang, "Christ is enough for me." To live is Christ, Paul said. To die is gain. The psalmist, one of the psalms says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And besides thee, I desire nothing on the earth." And what is he saying? Saying, what's the point of heaven except to be with the Father, to be with God? And that's what Jesus said. He said, "I've come to show you the Father. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you in the Father's house." If you think about it, we work and we strive and we do so many things. And one of the whole points of it is so that we can have time together, like, say, Thanksgiving. We're going to have Thanksgiving break here. One of the whole points, it's coming, is that we get to be together, right? That's the whole point of the Bible, is we get to be together. There's a great feast at the end, a victory party. And we're there with God. That's the point. He is the light. We don't need anything else, as it tells us in Revelation. So, you will seek me, you'll find me, when you search for me with all your heart. You know, it's interesting that he says, when you search for me with all your heart. When we have our struggles, and we have our trials, I think one of the purposes is to help us to change our mind, to mature us, to think what's most valuable is God. It's Him. Christ is enough. It's not all this other. Even the good thing, I'm striving to do this for you, Lord, but it's Him. And he's always reminding, I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the truth. I am the way. I'm the life. So the plan is to seek Him. And God says, and you'll find me. That's all you need. That's why one of the Psalms says, thy loving kindness is better than life. Wow, to know God, to know His character, His love is better than life itself. Of course, life is included, right? What a great gift that is to be with God, to live and have abundant life. That's what He wants for us. That's His plan. And I can walk in that plan right now, right? Calling on Him, praying to Him, have Him listen. Listen to His word. Remind myself of His plan, that I fit in there. And look forward to that time when we will be together. Remember the disciples? When Jesus ascended, they're looking up in the air. What are they looking at? Jesus. Have you ever seen a balloon going up in the air and it gets smaller and smaller and smaller? There's this little speck. That's what they were looking at. And all of a sudden, right by him, there was this angel saying, what are you looking at? Because he's coming back just the exact same way he left. And we look forward to that. Coming in the clouds, literally, of glory. He's coming back and he's going to touch down. Everything will be different. We get to be part of that. So in the end, when we get there, if somebody were to interview us and say, well, the great victory party with Jesus as King of everything, all the enemies have been defeated, was it worth it all in your life? What are you going to be able to say? Oh, yeah. It was worth it. Even the times when I was pummeled. Remember when you were a little kid and you first went to the ocean and the wave hit you and you didn't know where you were, upside down, and the gravel on your face? That's how life feels sometimes. Is it worth it? Oh, yeah. After a mother delivers that precious baby and she has it and she's holding it, was it worth it? Tears streaming down her face. Yeah, it was worth it. Sports analogy, I must finish with that. The Super Bowl, and they interview the guys, they're in the locker room. And they talk about, remember all the things you had to go through and injuries and this and that? Was it worth it? What do they say? I don't know. No, they say, yeah, it was worth it. That's what it's like. That's God's plan. That victory party in the end is going to make all, like the Bible says, all of our troubles now seem very, very small. So that's God's plan. That's the big perspective. It's easy to forget. It's right there, clear. All, not only in this passage, but throughout the scriptures. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for the perspective, for the truth that we can get in no place else but your word, what you've told us. Thank you that you're patient with us. You repeat it over and over so that we get the truth. Lord, help us to not only get the truth, but live it out, to walk with you, to affirm in our hearts and our minds that your plan is good, you're a good God, that we can walk with you, we can run to you, we can go boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. And Lord, that you really are the goal. You're the precious thing. Thank you. Lord, not only have you given us so many good things, so many good gifts, including our families, our fellow brothers and sisters, but you've given us your very self, your very presence, your love. Help us to seek to know you as we go through our days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.